A happy shout out to everyone tuning in today. My guest this evening hails from Cherokee County. He is a singer, songwriter, and guitarist, where his music takes on undertones of the red dirt, rock, and Americana genres. We will see what's shaken with Murphy, North Carolina's own Andrew Chastain of the Andrew Chastain Band when we return.
This is Backstage Pass Radio, the podcast that's designed for the music junkie with a thirst for musical knowledge. Hi, this is Adam Gordon, and I want to thank you all for joining us today. Make sure you like, subscribe, and turn alerts on for this and all upcoming podcasts. And now, here's your host of Backstage Pass Radio, Randy Halsey.
Andrew, what's shaking, brother? How you doing, man?
What's up, Randy? How you doing, brother?
It's another day in paradise here in Cypress, Texas. I'm glad you joined me. It's we've been chatting a little bit back and forth over the last month or so, but it's I'm glad that it's finally come to fruition that I get to chat with you and about the music and all that good stuff, man. So good to see you.
Absolutely, good to be here, man.
So are you guys all recovered from the partying, and or were you in bed at 8:30 on New Year's Eve night like I was?
I was in bed probably by like 12:30, but it was this is probably the first time in, oh man, I don't know, 7 or 8 years at least that we didn't play a show on New Year's Eve.
Do you think that was COVID related, or you guys just didn't book? What was the story there?
It was intentional. Yeah. We didn't book.
Yeah.
All of us kind of, you know, anytime there's, you know, Labor Day or a big holiday, you know, and that's kind of the thing when you're a musician is most of your weekends are always allocated to playing shows. And that's a pretty cool trade-off most of the time. But I don't know, this year I didn't have it in me to book a New Year's show. So
yeah,
we kind of took it easy.
Well, it's good to take a amateur night off once in a while, right?
Right, so they say. Right.
Speaking of like New Year's, what have the last couple of years been like for you as a musician, you and the band? Like what have you guys been through in the last couple of years from a music perspective? Just, I guess, as it relates to life and COVID and everything that every artist seems to be up against these days. How has it affected you guys, and how have you kind of come through it? And what did you do during the downtime?
To be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of downtime. You know, we were affected for sure for about 2 months when there was the national mandate of everywhere shutting down, you know, kind of the lockdown. But after that, I played solo shows. We played full band shows. And, you know, in our area up here, which is in Western North Carolina, North Georgia, East Tennessee area, there was a lot of places that it was different from state to state and county to county, but there's a lot of places who really didn't slow down a lot. And it is my livelihood for sure. But, you know, we did have to get resourceful in the form of doing a little bit more live streams, which was good, you know, in a way, because we got to interact with a lot of fans that we have in different parts of the country and different parts of the world that never have the opportunity to come see us live.
Sure.
But yeah, we, you know, it's just writing and growing.
Yep.
and just living every day, you know, taking it as it comes. We've been surviving, put some new music out. We put some songs out. I wouldn't call it a COVID song, but you know, everybody was kind of doing like a quarantine or a COVID kind of related song. And,
sure,
you know, as an artist and as a songwriter myself, I usually draw from experiences that I know, you know, and that was a big one that was affecting everybody. So of course it inspired, you know, some lyrical expressions from me as well as other things that, you know, I was thinking about in my life.
But sure.
It was good, man. Blessed. Can't complain at all. We made it through it and we're still here.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, you know, since you mentioned the live thing, years ago, I guess when Facebook Live kind of first came out, and before I decided to go back into playing out professionally myself, you know, I'm like, man, how can I cut my teeth without just jumping out amongst the wolves, right? And really, the Facebook Live for me was a way to cut my teeth, but it was a very interesting thing. And I didn't know if you shared my sentiments, but It is a great tool for reaching the masses of people that are not local, that don't get to see you, but it's also weird playing to a telephone. It's almost like playing to a cinder block wall. And we as musicians, that's tough, you know, because we're not getting a vibe. We don't have a room to read. What's your take on it? Is it kind of the same?
I mean, yes and no. It's, you do feed off the energy of the crowd and the vibe. And sometimes that's a good thing. And sometimes it's a bad thing. You know, sometimes when you're playing a bar gig and, you know, you're just playing a bar somewhere and people don't even know who you are, that all they care about is background music and hearing Mustang Sally or whatever the, you know, that they want to listen to. It's kind of cool that you don't have that aspect of it, you know? And for me, honestly, when I play, whether it's a solo show, you know, a smaller ensemble or a full band, and we're playing original songs, I have a deep personal connection with all of my songs. And, you know, a lot of times my eyes are closed half the time anyway. So sometimes playing the live shows, it was an opportunity to, you know, just visit with my songs. And, you know, it's cool to be able to reach people out there in virtual land, but, you know, the live factor or the live body, I guess, present factor, it definitely played a part, but I don't know. I could see pros and cons. I definitely would prefer playing for actual people though, because that's what music is. Yeah. You know, it's connecting with people. It's seeing the reactions on people's faces when they hear a certain lyric and, you know, all of a sudden, you know a little bit about that person because you know they have a connection to a specific part of a song, that they went through something that you went through.
Absolutely.
Just by reading their facial expression in a 2-second period, you know, which is not something that you really have when you're just playing to a video monitor of yourself and seeing comments pop up.
Yeah, and what a wonderful tool. I mean, whether you like it, love it, or it's, you know, indifferent, it's a great tool. You know, when I was growing up and playing in bands back in my late teenage years, early 20s, I mean, there was no such tool, right? The internet wasn't even around. So it's amazing how technology has advanced and allows us to do a lot of the things that we do today. And, you know, how did musicians sustain back in the day when there was not even social media? You know, I mean, we were writing letters and putting them in envelopes and mailing them to people back in the day. So it's a whole different world, and it's tools we have to be just thankful that we have today. Right. And that's great for guys like you. Now, Murphy, North Carolina, this is small town USA. Correct. I'm not that familiar with Murphy, but I have to guess that this is small town USA, right?
Never heard of Murphy before. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, it's, you know, we're a little mountain town. We're about the furthest west that you can get in North Carolina before you get into Tennessee. Georgia borders us to our south. Yeah, it's a small town. It's a great place to grow up. It's like everywhere, I think, in the U.S., it's been growing a lot, you know, for my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's a different place now than it was, you know, when I was a kid, but it's still, you know, definitely small town USA. And I'm really, really fortunate and really blessed to have been born here and grow up here. And it's influenced my songwriting.
Sure.
You know, probably more than anything.
Yeah. No, that was going to be my next question. I'm assuming you're a native Murphian, right? You've lived there. You were born there. You've lived there all your life and you haven't left yet, right?
I left a little bit, you know, during college. I lived in Charlotte for a little while. But yeah, for the most part, I've lived here my entire life. My family's here. It's home. You know, I love these mountains. These are the woods that I grew up hunting in. I still hunt in the same spots, you know. Mm-hmm. It's home to me, and I love it here.
I have a good friend who is from Chattanooga. And she actually cuts my hair for me here in Cyprus. She lives in Cyprus with her family now, but I told her as I got to looking at Murphy on the map, I'm like, wow, that's really close to Chattanooga. And so I said, well, my guest for the show Monday evening is Andrew Chastain, a musician out of Murphy, North Carolina. She's like, oh my God, I love Murphy, right? I'm like, okay, so I have a friend that's heard of Murphy, North Carolina. So, but Murphy is like population, like just to put it in kind of perspective, this is like population 2,000-3,000, right? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a little bit misleading just because that's the town of Murphy. You know, that's city limits.
Okay, I got you. So
it's really more Cherokee County. You know, I mean, I grew up in a community outside of Murphy, but I still live in Murphy. You know, you wouldn't tell people you grew up in the community of Brasstown.
Yeah.
But it's comprised of a lot of small communities that make up a whole. I don't know what the population of Cherokee County is.
Google will tell you, right?
That's what I'm doing right now. It's 28,000. Okay. So it's still not like a huge number, you know, but that's probably a more accurate representation of, I guess, the people around here because, you know, people come from every end of the county. You know, people from everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you left, you mentioned something earlier about leaving for a short time to go to Charlotte, but has there really never been a desire to leave small town for the bigger city to maybe grow the career or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? I guess, you know, I've talked to people that one of my guests lives in El Paso and is a huge artist in El Paso. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, certainly not dissing anywhere in the world, right? But it kind of made me wonder when I spoke to Matt, you know, like, Is it limiting the career to be in a smaller, I guess, area, you know, not like a major outlet, you know, you get my point, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it depends on what you look at as limiting. It is limiting as far as network opportunities, but you know, again, with the live and with the internet and with things like that, that kind of bridges the gap between a lot of that.
Sure.
And, you know, used to, it was like, your only hope for country music, especially, was to just pack up and go to Nashville. And I'm like 4 hours from Nashville, and I travel there, and I'll do songwriter gigs, and I'll go write with some guys down there. And I'm sure that, you know, had I moved there 10 years ago, my life would be totally different right now. But I think it's just really about what you want, sure. what your goal of success is. And, you know, and mine has always been to write songs, have them be successful in the form of make a living off of them and be able to sustain that and continue to do that. You know, I've never really been very big eyed for fame and money and, you know, everything that kind of comes with it, you know, all the entrapments, but just because I know personally myself what that would do to me, you know, I know how I acted the first time I got an income tax check return when I was like 18, you know,
like an idiot,
like,
right?
Like $1,200, man, I don't even have to go to work.
Exactly. You know, I can retire.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it.
I realize that. And it's always been, you know, something very important to me to be near my family and to be in the place that I love. You know, I don't mind to travel and, you know, I don't think that any more that it is completely necessary to relocate and dedicate everything about your life to making it in a career, you know. But again, that's my personal opinion,
and absolutely,
and people have different views on that for sure.
I think that what you just said is very respectable and it's very commendable. I've asked several guests on my show since I started it, and I didn't even put it in my outline to ask you for whatever reason. But you answered the question that I've asked these other people, and I've asked them to define success to them. And none of them have ever mentioned money in that equation. It's what you basically just said. Like, granted, we've all got to have money to pay our bills. I get that. You got to make some money playing that Martin back there, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, your success is being happy, writing the music, and putting the music in the ear of the listener and moving them by the music.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, that again, that, like I said, it's commendable. And I get kind of the same response from everybody, which is, it's nice to hear that nobody comes on the show and says, man, I'm just here to make a $3 million, and, you know, and it's all about the money, you know, because right. Then you, you're not touching people with the songs anymore. Now it's all fabricated. You know, it's not coming from the heart, I don't think.
Right.
How did the music career start for Andrew Chastain? Talk me through maybe the 50,000 foot view of kind of you as a kid growing up. What was influencing you musically? When did you get to the point where you said, this is it? There's no other jobs. I don't want to be a fireman. I don't want to be a policeman. I want to do this for a living. Talk right. to listeners through that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I was born into a musical family. My grandpa and his brother and pretty much all of their kids played gospel bluegrass. And, you know, we lived in a holler and our house was kind of centrally located. So growing up, it was nothing for, you know, your uncle or somebody just to kind of walk into your house unannounced, you know, and everybody just end up hanging out in your living room. So every Christmas or 4th of July or any kind of family get together was filled with music, you know, people playing bluegrass songs in the living room. And, you know, as a kid, I was just naturally drawn to that. I got a guitar, you know, probably when I was 8 or 9 years old and didn't really learn anything specific or traditional on it. Just kind of picked around and had a natural ear. Always loved music, grew up listening to country radio. I kind of, sports became my passion throughout most of school, and I focused more on football. That was my dream, you know, through high school, and ended up having a pretty bad injury my senior year and had a couple other kind of disappointments that derailed, you know, where I was going in life. And I still had my guitar and I'd always had it and always kind of played around on it, but I hadn't been really serious. So a couple years after high school, I always felt like I had just 1,000 songs inside of me, you know, I mean, things that I wanted to say, but I had no idea how to get them out. And I ended up getting my first song out in about 15 minutes. And it was a pretty good song, you know, but it was super, super quick and super easy. And I was like, man, this is going to be easy. I'll just start writing songs, you know. I was totally wrong, you know.
Right.
But I did start writing songs. None of them came as easy as that first one. And it kind of just grew organically. Posted a couple of videos on YouTube back then and some local venues saw it and asked me if I would be willing to come play, you know, for like a free tab. They couldn't pay me, but they'll give me free food and whatever I want, you know. And
sure.
So that was my first little taste, and I did, and people liked it, and they asked me to come back, and more people came, and other bars heard about it and started asking me, and it just kind of grew organically like that for a few years. I mean, I was playing solo and two-piece shows with a buddy of mine, and, you know, we were throwing covers in there, and I was writing my own originals, and eventually I played at a bar where two of my current members, Dave Poole and Ben Kilmer, my bass player and drummer, happened to be at, Dave was there. And, you know, Dave kind of talked to me on a break. He's like, dude, we got to get together and jam. So we got together, and that was my first experience with a band. And we kind of just formed a band and started practicing my original songs that I'd written and booked some studio time in Nashville, put out our first EP in 2016. And, you know, kind of just continued after that. And we've been doing it together ever since.
What is the split of solo shows versus that of the band?
I do way more solo shows.
Oh, do you?
Way more, yeah, way more scaled down shows. And I think a lot of that has to do with, because I'm playing in, you know, primarily North Georgia, Western Carolina, and East Tennessee. So, you know, we've got a pretty good name around these parts, and we always bring a good crowd. But I think that a lot of venues, you know, they look at cost efficiency. So they think that, you know, rather than book the whole band and pay 3 or 4 times as much, sure, they can just book me and get still
the gist,
a very big crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And for me, it's kind of like it's been my living solely for a few years now, and I've got to book shows, you know. So if I can't book all full band shows, obviously I fill that time with 2-piece and 3-piece and whatever I can to pay the bills.
Absolutely. And how many would you say you're playing a year now on average? Well, that's not a fair question because the pandemic has kind of put a, you know, a kink in the wheel, right? But all things considered, and if normal was considered in that question, right? Let's say COVID aside, how many were you playing at one time before all the pandemic came around?
I would say neighborhood of 150, give or take.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
About three shows a week, typically.
Yep. And what music would you say was influencing you as a kid? I heard you mention that you threw some cover stuff in there with your own originals. What was influencing you as a kid that you really were drawn to, and what do you like in these days?
I mean, I grew up listening to country radio in the 90s, so Garth Brooks was like my hero growing up. I mean, I sang every song that he had. I had a double album that somebody had given me, you know, and I just wore that thing out.
Yeah.
Thunder Rolls, Rodeo, you know, all those songs. And obviously, you know, Tim McGraw and just anything that was playing on country radio in the 90s was a big influence on me. I listened to other kinds of music, you know, throughout high school. I listened to rock. I went through a rap phase, you know, I think everybody kind of does at some point, but you know, it's always been country. And, you know, bluegrass music to me is just something that doesn't matter how long I get away from it. And I don't play bluegrass, but doesn't matter how long I get away from it. When I hear it, it just feels like home, you know, because that's some of the first memories of music that I have for sure.
Well, and you know, where you're from too, I'm sure bluegrass is, you know, very prevalent there. You know, you know, I've come to really love some of the, I don't know if you'd really call them bluegrass guys, but I'm sure there's bluegrass influences like Billy Strings and guys like that, that are just amazing flat pickers, you know?
Oh yeah.
Tell the listeners a little bit, you mentioned a little bit earlier, a couple of guys in the band, but talk to us about the band, the guys in the band, what they play, where did you find these guys? Let's chat about those guys for a minute.
Yeah. So, Dave Poole is our bass player. You'll recognize him by the 3 foot long goatee that he has. Sometimes he has it up and you can't tell, but Dave was the first one who happened to be at a show at a local bar that I was playing with a buddy of mine, Ethan, that I used to play with. And Dave just heard us and, he heard some of my songs and he heard my voice and he thought there was something there and, you know, and he believed in it from the get go. Dave has been a staple of the band, you know, from day one, as far as believing in what we're doing. Ben Kilmer is the drummer. Him and Dave had played music together before. And Ben's brother, Zach, he was our lead guitar player. Ben and Zach they used to be in a band called the Harmed Brothers. They're kind of a folk Americana band. They do a lot of shows, or they used to. I think they still do, but they stay busy all over the country. And they toured with them, you know, nationally. I think they toured internationally a little bit with those guys. But that was probably, what was that? It's like 2015. So that was like 6 or 7 years ago, you know, that those three guys joined the band and have been a part of. Zach is now playing pedal steel, which he's been playing with us for probably 3 years or so. His grandpa passed it down to him and he kind of just taught himself how to play. It's pretty amazing. All those guys are awesome musicians and they can interchange instruments, you know. Ben has a hand in songwriting as well. And Caleb Garrett is our lead guitar player. He's been with us for about 3 years now. And Caleb is just a prodigy. You know, he's just an awesome guitar player. He can play any style, any kind, but he's kind of developed his own, you know, his influence always comes through. But when he plays with us, there's a certain way that he does it. You know, he can play jazz, he can play blues or chicken picking or bluegrass or whatever you want him to play, you know, he can fall in the line, but he does his own. He's got a side project of his own as well. He's got a solo band called the Caleb Garrett Band, but yeah, all those guys are just awesome musicians, awesome people. You know, that's one reason that we've stuck together, you know, six, 7 years in band years is really kind of like 20 or 25 years.
It's like,
you
know? Dog years, right?
Right. And there's no egos, you know, we don't fight about money. We don't fight about, you know, spotlight. We're friends, we're brothers, and we have a good time playing together. And, you know, we've kind of been working towards a common goal as far as making good music, you know, and putting out good product.
Yeah, and it's sad when it does become about the music, because then you start losing the meaning of the music. You start, there's wedges that get inserted into that band. I've seen it in the past with people, and it's just it's a bad thing. The bands were, some of these bands were always so tight and sounded so good together, but it's that money thing can be a bad thing sometimes too, right? So, if you treat it like a brotherhood and a family, and you're there for one love, and that being the music, then hopefully you stay on that path, and it doesn't, people's projects in general don't get divided by the money. So that's good right. to hear. You mentioned that you share songwriting duties. Is it just with one of the guys in the band, or does everybody have a hand in that?
Typically, I write most of the songs. I think there's been some instances where I've brought some songs that I was stuck on or halfway through, and maybe we've finished them collectively, or Ben has helped me, and Ben has written some songs that he's brought to me, and we've worked together. Primarily, I guess I write most of the songs, and then Ben has a hand in doing some of the songs as well.
Yeah. Do you feel like songwriting is easy for you, or is it kind of a struggle, or is it somewhere in between?
Some days it's easy, some days it's a struggle. I think that songwriting for me has been a journey, as far as my approach, as far as what I'm trying to do. I used to put so much pressure, and I still do, on writing songs, and I would sit down, and if something wasn't going right, or I came to a hard spot in a song, I would just be like, well, this ain't meant to be, this ain't happening, but so much of it, I've been writing in Nashville a little bit the last year or two with some different guys, and these guys are writing songs every day, and it's a job, they sit in, they clock in, we got to power through this. And sometimes that's where the magic happens, and it is work. A lot of it's just chair time. A lot of it's sitting there.
Yeah.
And just grinding, and finishing. And I have a hard time doing that sometimes, because I really have and I'm not saying that other people don't, but I have a very high standard for a song that I finish, maybe too much of one, because I don't approach it as in like, well, I don't have to put this song out, or I can throw this song away. For me, I kind of get in my own way as being like, every song that I write has to be really good, and I got to have no doubts about it,
Yeah.
Which I always end up having, second guessing things and of that nature. But as far as inspiration and being motivated to express myself, that's an up and down thing too, depending on where you're at in life and
yep.
how you're feeling, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling happy, all of that plays a role in feeling like you want to express yourself or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great segue kind of to go in to talk a little bit about your discography. And if I'm off with dates along the way, I trust that you will correct me. So from a discography perspective, you released an EP called Things Change back in 2016, correct?
That's right.
And then fast forward a couple of years, you had a single that was released called With You.
Right.
And then I guess right pre-pandemic, or we might have been getting into the pandemic around that time, but you had a 5-song EP that came out called Roots, correct?
Yeah. That was actually the 5-song. The Roots came out in 2019, I believe. We released a single pre-pandemic called The Chains That Bind, which was the next thing after Roots. And I'm pretty proud of that song, and it's got a lot of meaning to it. A lot of, if you listen to it, you can probably pick up on the story that I'm telling and painting, and it's from a very personal experience in my life. But it kind of got robbed a little bit, because we came out with that in late January of 2020.
Yep.
And everything kind of started ramping up as far as people getting worried and talking about it in the news in like February, you know, and by like March it was full blown. So it's kind of like everybody, it didn't really have a chance to get much attention.
Yeah. Never got a chance to grow legs, I guess is what they would say, right?
Right.
There's a song off of Roots that I would like to feature a clip of, and I'm going to play a clip of a song called Carolina Hills. I'll treat the listeners to that, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit about that song. Fair enough?
Cool.
Have you ever jumped off that second bridge out in Hanging Dog? Watch out for the law.
Carolina Hills off of the 2019 EP entitled Roots. So, Andrew, I have to say, you know, I'm not from small town. I'm not from a small town. I grew up in the big city, but it's kind of neat listening to that song because it paints a picture of a town that I can tell you're very proud of. Tell me a little bit about the song and talk to me about where you had the song, where you recorded the EP at.
Yeah. So I wrote that song probably, we put it out in 2019 and I wrote it in probably like 2013. I wrote it when I mentioned I moved to Charlotte and went to school for a little while. I just wrote my first song before I went out there and I started writing some more songs while I was there. It was probably third or fourth song that I wrote, but I was feeling homesick, you know, just thinking about things that I had taken for granted, you know, growing up in Murphy, in small town USA, and kind of started writing that song and got about halfway through it and kind of got stuck, ended up moving back home a little time later. And I finished it when I got back home, and yeah, I put it out on an acoustic EP, which is no longer available, back in 2014. And it got a lot of attention, you know, people from here, especially, you know, they heard names, they recognize Hanging Dog.
Sure.
Which is a community outside of Murphy that everybody kind of, there's two bridges out there and everybody knows that, you know, you go to the second bridge and that's where you go to jump off into the lake. But it's kind of this thing to where sometimes, depending on, I guess, the times and the local sheriff's department who's in there and how they feel about it. But a lot of times they used to kind of hassle us about,
sure,
you know, that's an illegal thing. And
yeah.
They would kind of come out, but people would get wild, you know, people would go out there and party and yep, be drinking and jumping off the bridge and stuff. So I understand them kind of stepping in a lot of times, but it was just kind of a rite of passage thing in high school. Everybody go to the second bridge and jump off. So including that into the song was a cool thing for all the people that lived around here. But one thing I discovered pretty quickly was, you know, when we put that song out, or when I put it out solo at first, there was people from all over the country reaching out to me, you know, saying, you know, I have no idea where you're talking about, but, you know, in my hometown, there's this one place that we go to and do this, you know, and that reminds me so much of it. So a lot of people kind of just connected with the nostalgic feeling of,
sure,
of a small town home. Yep. Right.
So I've always loved the storytelling aspect. And I think, you know, I mentioned that it paints a picture in the mind. It's almost like in the mind's eye, I can go to Murphy, North Carolina, and And it made me question, like, what's this bridge? Why is this bridge brought up in this song? And another one, you know, like there was a song that Jason Isbell in the 400 unit wrote years ago called Cover Me Up. Great song. Right. And he talks about Percy Priest in there. And I'm like, I don't even know what's Percy Priest. I don't know. So it forced me as a intaker or an ingester of music to go find out what Percy Priest was, much like it makes me go and listen to your song a different way and to look up things like Murphy, North Carolina, and things that I don't know about. So I think that that's the interesting thing behind these songs, is that it opens our minds and I think it makes us more knowledgeable about things that are around us that normally we would shut off. Like if you would have asked me a month ago, what's Murphy or where's Murphy, North Carolina, I would have probably told you I really don't know. And I probably don't so much care because I don't live there, right? Much like Cypress, Texas would be to you. It's just another place on the map. But now there's a different thought process around Murphy and the things in Murphy, right? Because of the connection that I have with you. But where did you guys go to record the Roots EP? Did you do that locally, or did you go to Nashville? Did you go somewhere else to record that particular EP?
We recorded that one locally in Blairsville, Georgia, at Clubman Studios. And Jimmy Smith was the engineer on that one. And that's actually where we met our current guitar player, Caleb. He was doing some studio work. At that time, we had another guitar player, Daniel, who played with us for a few years. And a little while after we recorded this EP, Daniel ended up going a different direction. So, you know, Caleb had done some guitar work for us on this. So we reached out to him, and that was, you know, kind of sealed his fate for a while.
Sure.
But yeah, Jimmy did a great job on this. Great studio. It was cool. He worked with us, you know, on everything, was really patient. It's kind of, the recording process can be, it's different in a lot of different environments, you know, but when you have a group of guys who are looking for a particular sound, you know, I would never want to be an engineer who's sending guys mixes and being like, hey, you know, what do you think about this mix? And then you get back a bunch of different notes like, well, this sounds different and I need you to tweak this and tweak that and tweak that, you know, but he was patient with us and got it to where, you know, we wanted it to be. And we're pretty proud of that whole EP.
Yep. Do you feel like you enjoy the songwriting portion of the business, or if you could throw it away and just magically have songs that you played? I mean, it's kind of a silly question, but there's always aspects of any business, whether it's music, whether it's professional baseball, whatever, right? You name the widget. But would you say that you enjoy songwriting, or is it just a necessary evil kind of that is part of the business for you?
It's absolutely a passion for me.
Okay.
You know, the live shows in my mind serve as a purpose to just showcase the writings.
Sure.
You know, and I'm really actually more preferential to, you know, a little bit more intimate, like writer's round stuff, where it's really more about the lyrics and about the songs and you can talk about them, you know, as opposed to high energy, craziness atmosphere. I mean, there's definitely fun parts of that, playing a huge show with thousands of people. But, you know, for me, it's always been about the songs. It's always been about the writing, and, you know, take it further. And it's more about the ideas behind the songs and the writing and the values.
Correct.
And the things that I believe in.
Yep. Now, fast forward, there was a couple of singles. You mentioned one of them a minute ago, The Chains That Bind. That was a single that came out in 2020. There was also another one called Two Lives Into One, right? That was released in 2020. And then you released another single called Alone Together in 2020. And I'd like to share that song with the listeners and then come back and chat a little bit about that one as well.
Okay.
My buddy on the West Coast said that things are coming down, but here in Carolina, well, they're ramping up right now. And them folks in New York City had a tough road to hoe, and I hope my friends in Texas know they've got a place to go. And it's times like these that make a man or break him down inside. Got a choice to make, lay down and die or stand and fight. Cause that battle waging in your mind is realer than you think. Take your finger off that trigger, son, and let these words just sink. Hey.
That was the 2020 release, Alone Together, a single that was released by Andrew Chastain. I have to tell you, dude, I dig that song. That's a really cool song. And, you know, what I always do with a lot of my artists is I go and I listen to the whole, you know, the whole discography, and I find songs that just stick out to me. Maybe they are not songs that the artist would necessarily want me to feature or like me to feature, but they're ones that resonate to me as the host of the show. And that one certainly jumped out at me. What inspired the lyrics to the song? Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously the, I wrote that one probably April of 2020. When the national quarantine was going on, and, you know, even in our small town, it was just, it felt crazy. You know, there was a curfew, not that it was like, I don't even know how strictly it was enforced, but it was grocery stores shut down, you know, at like 7 o'clock. And it just, it felt like another world, you know, that we were in. Mm-hmm. And I had lost I'd lost a buddy of mine a little while before that who had taken his own life, and I was battling with a lot of depression myself during that time. And there's another friend of mine, Robert, he runs a fly fishing program out in Oregon for PTSD vets. And he reached out to me one day. I think he had noticed kind of a change in my demeanor or behavior on like some of my Instagram stories or something. He could just tell I was struggling a little bit, you know, and him being trained to recognize that, he reached out to me and he was like, "Hey man," and we talked on the phone. He's like, "I got an idea, you know." He started talking about putting together some kind of inspirational video for people that are struggling with quarantine. And we ended up talking about my buddy Chris, you know, throughout that conversation. And, you know, originally he was talking about like doing some kind of cover song, you know, and just making a video and just trying to cheer people up. And I was like, "You know what, man, I'm just going to write one. Just going to write one about how I'm feeling," you know? And so the next day I sat down and it was one of those to where I was just determined to write it. You know, it was like 8 or 9 hours in this room, you know, that you're seeing right here. I would get up and go to a different room every now and then and try, but I just kind of stuck with it. So a lot of it was, if you listen to the lyrics, it's talking about being in a dark place, you know, the thoughts that are behind my eyes, you know, getting darker, my faith in my whiskey are running low. And, you know, in the second verse, I kind of give an ode to Chris, my buddy on the West Coast, said that things are calming down. I mean, Robert rather, but then also I was thinking about my buddy Chris, when I said the line, you know, take your finger off that trigger and listen to these words, because if I could say that, you know, to anybody else who is contemplating a huge decision like that, sure, which anybody can make that decision.
Sure.
It really, the same thing that said about him, you know, all of our friends was like, man, that's not something he would ever do, but it really just takes like a 2 second lapse in judgment, yep, you know, for anybody who's in their right mind to get to a place to where they have a lapse in judgment for 5 seconds and then they can't take it back, you know? So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about putting out a positive message. You know, for me, it's always been God, knowing where my faith is and knowing what's really important in life, you know, that I'm here to serve Him. And if I don't have anything, if I don't have any relationships or music or anything in life, I've always got Him. And sometimes that's hard to see when you're in a dark place, especially if you've got your eyes closed. So sure. That song was just meant to open people's eyes and show them a little bit of light.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with the whole depression thing, but this is a topic that's always been very near and dear to my heart, because I have been a sufferer of depression in the past, and I know of those dark times, right? And I'm hoping for you those dark times are better now, or it's in check. But my phone is always on. I wanted to let you know that, not to get all sappy on this call, right? But
No.
I've been in those places, and they're tough, man. And you know, I totally understand that whole idea of it just being too much sometimes. And like you, I've had friends that have taken their own lives, and it's, you know, I don't understand it, even though I've thought of it in the past myself, but never had, I guess, the ball, so to speak, to do anything like that.
Right.
But some people are just way down a road, right? And it's really, right, really dark for them. And I encourage all my listeners that if you're fighting with those demons or in those dark places, that there are people to talk to. And my phone is certain. I'm not hard to find, right? I'm all over the internet. And I think Andrew would say the same thing to people
absolutely.
As well, right? Especially after penning a song of sorts, which I love, by the way. And I think while the topic is a little dark, It's reality, man. It's something that we have to deal with every day, and not every song can be a, you know, do-si-do kind of song, right? Sometimes we talk about real things that cut to the bone, and that's one of them. So I appreciate you writing a song like that. It means a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Was this song also recorded in Georgia, or was this done like home studio? Did you go to another studio? Talk to me a little bit about that.
That one was recorded with our current producer and engineer, Mr. Billy Hume. And he's got a studio in Norcross, Georgia, and he's also got one in Cumming, Georgia. The last few releases that we've put out, Chains That Bind, Alone Together, and Two Lives Into One, have all been with Billy. And we've been recording with him last quarter of last year that we have new songs. Billy's just he's a genius. He's a wizard in the studio, and he's produced a lot of different artists. The infamous String Dusters, I think he won a Grammy with those guys, but he's got a lot of history with a lot of different kinds of music, and we've just really struck up a really good relationship with Billy, and I love him, and he does great work. But yeah, that's who we recorded with on that one.
Isn't it amazing and kind of mind-blowing the magic that these guys can do in the studio? And I guess everybody, you know, we're all good at something, right? You know, some are great, you know, pitchers, some are great, you know, pick up the garbage great. Like, you know, and I say that a little tongue in cheek, but to go into a studio and just, it, you know, just the buttons are overwhelming in and of themselves, right? It's pretty amazing what those guys, the magic that they can work in the studios.
Right. And I like to be clear that, you know, the magic that Billy does, he does the greatest, you know, actual representation of what we sound like, you know, of us on our best day. Uh-huh. You know, that's one, because he pushes us, you know, and we do takes until we get it right. And he has very high standards. But the things that he can hear, like, he has a different kind of ear.
Yes. Than,
it's not a human ear. Like, the things we can be playing and there'll be like, you know, 9 different tracks going on with like 2 or 3 different guitars and the drums, and like we're in the studio and it's a loud thing. He'd be like, whoa, hang on, back that up right there. He's like, did I just heard like a little tick whenever you hit the snare on that, you know, second time around in the chorus. And it's like, how do you even, like, the way his ear is trained, he's just really good at what he does. And he does a good job of not presenting an inaccurate representation, but putting out, you know, the best quality that we can get.
Yeah, and I completely understand where you're coming from when you speak of him. I was a official in professional hockey for 17 years. And as an official, you watch the game differently than a spectator watches the game, right? So I pick up on things that the typical fan would never pick up on, right? So again, he's going to pick up on things that, you know, your typical non-musician would never go into a studio and hear what he heard. And maybe you guys don't even hear what he hears, right? Because he's listening a totally different way than even the musician is listening, which is pretty impressive in and of itself.
Right.
Because they have a way of pulling, like you said, they have a way of pulling those things out of you. And that's what, you know, what makes the records great sometimes is that they hear things that you never heard and say, oh no, there needs to be an acoustic guitar here. Take that out, put this in. And it's a game changer a lot of times, right?
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit about what listeners can expect from the Andrew Chastain Band as it relates to new music that you might be working on that you can talk about, right? You may not be able to talk about some projects that you're working on, but if there's anything that you can share with the listeners, I'm sure we would love to hear that.
Well, it's kind of a question mark a little bit right now. As for me and my life, very recently, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been working on my relationship with God for the last year, and God's always been a big part of my life. I came to believe and accept Jesus Christ when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I spent a lot of time kind of wandering away and doing what I wanted to do. But the last year, God's been pulling me a lot closer. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been kind of under conviction in a lot of different directions, which has led me to some decisions that I don't really know, you know, what's going to be happening.
Yep.
And I know that in my heart that I have to surrender, you know, as far as being true to my convictions. I know that God's given me music and songwriting as a gift, and that will always be a part of my life. And I feel like I will always be performing, and I will always be writing songs. And maybe I will always be writing country music, you know, and always be performing country music. But as far as the lifestyle that I've lived for the last 9 years of playing in bars, you know, every like 3 or 4 times a week. And I'm not condemning anyone else who does that. This is a personal conviction for me. It's made it tough, probably because I'm weak, you know, and most of the time I just ran down the wrong roads 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've kind of came to a decision and a turning point, like I say, just recently in the last few weeks, that I'm not going to be doing that any longer. Whether that means I'll be writing songs and recording and producing them and putting them out and only performing at, you know, different types of venues, I won't be making my living by playing in bars for 2022. And that's something that is very fresh and very new. And I haven't announced that to any of our fans. I know that by the time that this podcast airs, you know, it will be out there. But yeah, it's a big question mark, but I'm in a position to where I feel God telling me to do something. And I've done the opposite of that so many times in my life that I really just want to let go and trust in him, and whatever he's got for me will work out. And I know that it will be how it's supposed to.
Absolutely. And that's probably the best way to do it. Just kind of go with the way the river runs, right? And see what happens. I did an interview with an artist out of Louisiana not too long ago. This particular band is in the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame. They've sold millions of records globally. And at some point in time, one of the guys that was the lead singer abandoned music and went to the altar and started and became a preacher, right? And has nothing at all to do with music anymore. So you never know. You never know where God's going to lead you, right? And I'm sure that with him, with Jeff, he he just went with where he was led, and and he's been doing that for I don't know how many years now. But you it's always interesting to see that, because you say, man, you had a successful band, you toured the world, you guys were associated with bands like Toto and all of these major bands, and then you just like you ride off into the sunset, and I think the typical person just doesn't get that, but that wasn't his calling, right? And it's much like what you're saying. You'll figure out what your calling is, and maybe it is music. Maybe it's not music. Maybe maybe you're going to be a post hole digger. I mean, who knows, right? But you have to stay true to yourself and to, you know, your relationship with, you know, your creator. So, you know, whatever path you go down, I wish you the best of luck there. But, you know, in the past, you've supported artists, I believe, like Corey Smith, Shooter Jennings, and Hank Williams Jr. come to mind. But it's my understanding, is, am I right or wrong, that do you have a national tour coming up? Or is that kind of something that you were planning, and then this new thing in your life, you've kind of put that on the back burner, the tour, and kind of reevaluated that? Talk to me a little bit about that. Because I think you were planning on like a national tour, correct?
Well, usually every year we will do some touring. You know, we've never had a huge national tour. You know, we're totally independent, you know.
Correct.
And when I say that, I do all of the booking.
Yep.
You know, I send the emails, I talk to the venues, find the booking agents. And when you're an independent band representing yourself, a lot of times when you're sending an email, you know, if you don't have like a fake alter ego created that you're like a tour manager, you know, hey, my name's Andrew and I have a band called the Andrew Chastain Band. They're usually like, this is not professional, you know? So you send a lot of emails and don't get very many responses.
Sure.
But we typically, you know, we've toured the Midwest, and sometimes we've toured, you know, Southeast and Florida and places like that. We don't have anything on the docket for 22, and we don't have anything at all on the docket as far as live shows go for 22. That's something that I'm in the process of clearing out the schedule of right now, which creates, you know, not awkward conversation, because I feel peace about doing it. I mean, sure. I really do, but it's a lot of people are not going to understand. A lot of our fans are not going to understand.
Well, where I think you're wrong is if they are your fans, they will understand, right?
Right.
But there are going to be those people, right? You're always going to have those people that
absolutely
you're never going to please them no matter what. So again, you have to do what you have to do. And if the Andrew Chastain Band is meant to be, then it will be. And if it's not meant to be, well, those people will have to go on and find another band that they like and that they enjoy. And that's life. I mean, it's, we're always dealing a hand or being dealt a hand in life, and we don't always get the things that we want. So, you know, you stay true to yourself and your beliefs. And I believe that if music is where you're put to be and where you're meant to be, that schedule will fill up, right? One way or another, that schedule will fill up. And I think I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. You already know that because you've been doing it for a while, right?
Well, it's good to be reminded of that. You know, even if you know it, you have to remind yourself, you know, to kind of have faith. And because it's a scary spot to be in, something that you've worked
absolutely
tirelessly for, sacrificed relationships for, a sacrifice just about every weekend of your life for the last 9 years, you know, to get to a point and really be on the precipice of, you know, we've got some really, really good music that we've been recording that's potentially career changing, you know, and God's ways are not our ways. And I don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand how he's doing it. And I'm just called to trust in him, which is not something I've did for most of my life. So I'm going to try it on this time, and I know he'll see me through it.
Absolutely. Well, and I didn't, I believe that there's probably good things in the, in the can for you guys. I like to think that I'm a pretty good judge of character. I didn't choose you to be on this show because you sucked, right? So I ask you for a reason, because I don't know how I found you, to be quite honest with you, because I listen to tons of musicians. I'm honest to a fault, right? It's just going out, seeing people post things. I'm like, oh, let me go check this guy out, or let me go check that gal out and see, you know, what their music's like. And I stumbled across you somewhere, and something resonated with your music. So, and here we are. So yeah. I think that, again, you'll figure out what the calling is, and it'll all work itself out. But in the meantime, how do the listeners find you and the band on social media, and what's the best way that they can support you today?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on, we're on Instagram as Andrew Chastain Music, all one word. We are on Facebook. If you just search Andrew Chastain Band, you'll find us on there. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Deezer, all of the digital streaming places. You know, typically if you go to Google and you type in Andrew Chastain Band, it'll bring up all the relevant links and ways to support us. And the best way to support us, you know, we have a website, andrewchastain.com, where we have merch, but the best way to support us, honestly, is just streaming our music and telling people about us and, you know, spreading the word.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, I appreciate you taking the time and joining me. It's been great to hear your story. I wish you continued success and success on your new journey, wherever that may end up. I like to think that, you know, hopefully I have a friend in the future, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll kind of keep me posted post show of the journey. Of course, I'll keep an eye out for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I ask the listeners to follow Andrew on social media, on all the outlets, and to get out there to andrewchastain.com and purchase that merch, stream the music. That's always helpful to the artist. As always, you can find the show on Facebook at Backstage Pass Radio Podcast, on Instagram at Backstage Pass Radio, Twitter at Backstage Pass PC, and on the website at BackstagePassRadio.com. You guys make sure to take care of yourselves, and please continue to support your local musicians. And we'll see you guys right back here on the next episode of Backstage Pass Radio.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Backstage Pass Radio. Make sure to follow Randy on Facebook and Instagram at Randy Halsey Music, and on Twitter at R Halsey Music. Also, make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on alerts for upcoming podcasts. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to share the link with a friend and tell them Backstage Pass Radio is the best show on the web for everything music. We'll see you next time right here on Backstage Pass Radio.